that's the gospel right there.
That's the gospel. Come to the table. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what's happened before. It's a matter of what has happened in you to bring you to the Lord's table. That's the gospel. Take that with you. We could say amen and go home. It was such a great moment. Dads, today's your day. But the truth is, it's every day. You don't really ever get a day off once you've had kids. The reality is, if we're going to take seriously what it means to be a dad, if we're going to take seriously what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, when we bring children into this world, we move from being someone who simply needs to live a good life to now being someone who has a responsibility to be a disciple so he can make disciples within his home with those children that God grants him. It's imperative. It is one of those things we have to come to grips with as dads. It's one of those things that as dads, well, let me put up the first picture. I see pictures like this and I'm just like, I remember when my kids were that small. It was a long time ago. My grandkids aren't even that small anymore. But I remember the emotional weight of seeing my two boys walking along behind me, beside me, wanting to go where I go, wanting to be where I was. And feeling the weight of needing to teach them what it meant to be a man. Now think about that. I know we're here in church. I know we're, so we're. It's very likely that all the answers are going to be church answers. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Guys, for a second, what does it mean, in your mind, what does it mean to be a man? If somebody came up to you on the street, whether they put a microphone in front of you or not, they came up to you on the street and they said, what does it take to be a man? What would pop into your head? What would you think of? Now that hopefully is popping into your head, where did that come from? How did you learn that? How did you figure that out? Who taught you how to be a man? I learned what I learned about being a man from watching my dad. Maybe you did too. Maybe it was some other very significant mentor or male in your household or in your experience, a teacher or someone that you came in contact with in your neighborhood or an uncle or something. But who was it? I watched my dad and the way he treated my mom. And I learned how to be a man. How it was my fault, whether it was my fault or not. Not because he was beaten down by my mom, but he wanted to take that burden from her and take the responsibility. I watched my dad as he never, ever raised his voice to my mother. Never, ever raised his voice to my mom. Now, they had some very intense discussions, but the decibel level never was raised. They were able to communicate through looks. They were able to not have to say a thing when the kids were present to know where they were. My dad was a provider. My dad cared. Now, I learned how to be a man from my dad. There were some things I did not learn from my dad. I did not learn how to throw a football from my dad. That was a real mistake to even try. And my dad, I'm not real sure he knew what a baseball was. Never did any baseball around our house. Now, I grew up in New Orleans. There's no baseball teams around there. So, you know, for a number of years, I didn't even know baseball existed until I went and visited at my uncle's house up in Mississippi, and they listened to the Cardinals all the time, you know. And so they would listen on the radio, and then all of a sudden I discovered, oh, there's this whole other sport that I didn't know anything about. There were a lot of things I did not learn from him. But I learned how to be a man. I learned how to be a person of grace. I learned how to be a man who was willing to take responsibility and not pass it off on anybody else. Now, let me ask you another question. Those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, who led you to the Lord? I actually would like to know, and this how many of you were led to the Lord by your dad? Maybe two. I wasn't either. If there's anything that I would say we as men in this day and time, in this society, need to grow in. And I got to tell you, I'm encouraged by the trends that I see in this day and time. But we need to grow in this willingness to not just lead in teaching our children how to be men and women, how to be socially acceptable, how to work within society, how to function in gracious ways in our world. We also need to be men who take responsibility in leading our children to follow the Heavenly Father's footsteps, and not just our own. If your experience was like mine, the person who led you to the Lord was not your dad. Now, my dad was a believer. He was a deacon. He was a gracious man. His Christianity affected his life and his lifestyle. But he was scared to death to share Jesus with me. So when I started asking questions, you know what he did? No. He couldn't live with that. We better call the preacher. Better call the preacher. We've got to get this right. So called the preacher, brought me over, sat me in the living room where nobody ever went. Sat me in the living room. Preacher came. Preacher explained it to me. I already knew everything I needed to do. I just needed somebody to give me permission to do it. To tell me I was doing it right. And so there in that living room, I prayed my prayer of saying, yes, Jesus, I want to do whatever you want me to do for the rest of my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I will trust you for the rest of my life. And at 7 years of age, I gave my life to Jesus. And my dad was proud of me. But he didn't lead me. Now, why is that important? Well, my point is that as believing dads, as believing granddads, and even uncles, it's a necessary part of our spiritual maturity to find ways to get comfortable with talking to our kids and our grandkids and our nieces and nephews about spiritual things. Listen to Paul's words as he's talking to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he talked about the importance of that heritage of faith. I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. So as we think about following in our Heavenly Father's footsteps and in our dad's footsteps, hear these words in that context as he's speaking to his son in the faith. Starting in verse 10. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And yet, the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Probably ought to underline that verse in your Bible somewhere. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I have three things I want to talk to you about today in regards to this passage of scripture that relate to us as dads, and I would say to all parents and those who have influence over children and young adults. We need to disciple by being a disciple. And Paul's words remind me that the first thing we need to recognize that is going to be a part of who we are is that we have to persevere through the inevitable struggles of life. One of the things that I watched my dad deal with at different points in time, and we had a pretty easy life economically. My dad was a radiologist. And he ended up being the head of radiology for Baptist Hospital in New Orleans. We did not want for anything. But there were seasons in my dad's life where the stresses of work got so difficult that it was tough for him to move. Tough for him to move forward. And even though he would not talk to me as a child or a young adult about those things, it was evident, it was obvious in him, the struggles that he was going through. But at no point did he pull back. At no point did he stop doing for us. At no point did he walk away from his responsibilities. At no point did he walk away from his faith. Sometimes, dads, your number one job is just simply to follow Jesus anyway. Your number one job is to follow Jesus. I know it sometimes feels like your number one job is just try and make sure that you've got this job and you got maybe a second job and you're trying to make all that work, or between you and your wife, you're both working and you're trying to make enough money and it's your job to make sure all the bills get paid and all those things. Yes, all of that is true. But I want to tell you, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. Your number one job is to first and foremost follow Jesus Christ. Everything else will fall into place as you trust Him. Does that mean that you'll have a bed of ease? No. No. But as you follow Him, those things that are struggles will be struggles that you will endure and walk through, holding on to the one who created the universe. Knowing that with every step you take, you're walking with Him, gives you the freedom to trust in the midst of the scariest of circumstances that God is going to provide just as He's promised, and your kids will see. Dad, your number one job as you want to disciple your kids is not memorizing a spiel. It's not learning the four spiritual laws. It's not trying to make sure that everything that you talk about at home has Jesus in it somewhere. It's living a life that evidences the fact that your heart is to walk with Jesus. When they see that, they'll know it. That's your number one job. You know what your number two job is? While you're walking, persevere. Don't give up hope. Keep on going. I wish I had better followed this advice. I think most of us that get to this point in our lives can look back over our lives, guys, and we can shake our heads and say, man, if I had done this, or if I hadn't done that, or if I had just persevered here, or if I had just not tripped up there. There are always going to be those kinds of things. Let me tell you, one of the awesome things about following Jesus is that He loves to pick us up and dust us off and say, come on, let's walk again. So wherever you are, whatever your situation, if you feel like you blew it 15 years ago and you've been blowing it ever since then, guess what? Today is a day you can come back to Jesus and say, I am sorry, I messed up, I'm willing to walk with you again. And guess what? Jesus is not going to say, too late. He's going to say, well, I've been waiting for this. Come on, let's go. Well, what about, he says, don't worry about that. I got that. You walk with me. Your number one job is to walk and follow Christ, but there are going to be times when you trip, you fall, you mess up. Guess what? Your number two job is to persevere. Get up, say, I'm sorry, and say, I'm not going to do that again, and move forward with Jesus. Now, please don't hear me say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get yourself together, and get out there and be a man. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and say, show me what's next. I am willing to do it. Sometimes that's the scariest part. But it's the best part. Because when we act in faith, we discover God's already there. Persevere through the inevitable struggles. That's what I said about verse 12. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's going to be even more the case with this next generation if things continue in the way they're going than it is and has been with my generation and with some of your generation. It's going to be harder. Doesn't make it any less beneficial, good, and right. Persevere. Follow Him. No matter the struggles, stay with Him. Your kids will see it and be blessed. Number two, I would say to you, you need to be those who follow Jesus, and you need to do it from your infancy to your young adulthood into your senior adulthood. In other words, you need to be an ongoing disciple. Gary talked about this last week. You need to not grow weary in well-doing. You need to make sure that you recognize that the sacred scriptures are your textbook for everything related to you and your family. They are. How many books do you have in your house? Somebody want to throw me a number? How many books you got at your house? Maybe 100, maybe 1,000. All right, maybe this will be a little bit easier. How many of you actually read? Alright. How many Bibles do you have at your house? Do you actually know? I have no clue. They are stashed all over. The latest Gallup poll tells us that among evangelical Christians, the number of us who read the Bible daily is dropping precipitously. That's scary. Why? Because it is the sacred scriptures inspired by God. that's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that you can become complete, equipped for every good work. And without it, you can't do those things. Oh, we can pretend, we can try, we can do things that maybe everybody else thinks will be good enough. But I want to tell you, it's the Scriptures we have to read. It's the Scriptures we have to know. It's the Scriptures we have to put into our heart so that we might not sin against Him. Your kids need to know that you are a man or a woman of Scripture. A believer that the Bible is true and that God reveals Himself as we read and study His Word. When we do that, then we help them to grow from infancy all the way into young adulthood as young men and women who rightfully know how to understand, divide, discern the Word of God. That's how we help them be disciples, by being disciples ourselves. How many of us are able to find the margin, the time, to sit down and read the Bible together as a family? How critical that is. I remember the times when our kids were young and it would be bedtime. We had our routine. And in our bedtime routine, one of the things we would do is they would get in their beds, the boys would get in their beds, and we'd come down, and we had a book that our children's worship provided at Tinley for them, and we would read a Bible story, and we would have prayer time with them. And then, as they went to bed, we had, back in the day, cassette tapes that we would put in, and we would turn on, and it would play Bible stories from the Old Testament or the New Testament all the way to the end of that tape, and it would shut off and they would be asleep having heard that Bible story tape. I had one of my sons a year or so ago come to me and say, "Do you still have that tape?" And I'm like, "What tape are you talking about?" "No, the one we went to sleep by." "You mean the Bible story tape?" "Yeah. I've been having problems sleeping, and I was thinking that might help me sleep." I'm like, "I will find it." The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts those things out that need to be cut out, but it cleans those things up that just need to be cleaned. It is able to be an offensive weapon as well as a personal cleansing weapon. God Himself is at work in us when we know His Scripture. We need to not just have it here, though. We've got to make sure that we daily apply it so that it results in wisdom. That's what He says. He says that we need to have Scripture in us so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Able to discern that which is right, that which is wrong, that which is best, as opposed to that which is just good enough. We need to be, as James says, doers of the Word and not hearers only. So we persevere through the inevitable struggles of life by our faith in Christ and our following Him. And we train our children from infancy all the way to young adults in the sacred Scriptures, and then applying that, not just by telling them, but by showing them and evidencing that in our lives. Which then leads us to the conclusion that Paul comes to in this passage, that we then present them complete, equipped for every good work. What is the good work that Jesus left us here to do? He left us here to make disciples. And that starts at home. It happens through His Word. So that as we are equipped, our goal becomes to model discipleship. We need to be all about modeling discipleship. We need to model perseverance and making it known that we're not going to... Our faith is not just something we kind of sort of have, but it fluctuates with the wind of culture or the wind of oppression or the wind of public opinion. We will model perseverance. And then our goal is to keep it going. Generation to generation to generation. Our goal is to not allow one generation to miss out on the truth of God's Word. Now, let's take a look at the next picture. Here it is. Your children will become what you are, so be what you want them to be. It's not Scripture, but it's a biblical truth. It's a truth that's supported by the Bible. What we're all about is that we need to become what we want our child, our grandchild, our niece, our nephew to become. Men, it starts with you. Dads, it begins with you. You may say, well, I haven't really done a good job. My kids are adults now. What am I supposed to do? Start today. You have contact with them. Even if it's just texting or phone call or FaceTime, start today. Find a way to be the man God wants you to be. Pray to God that He gives you opportunity to have Him, to have God bring back that which the locusts have eaten in your life and restore that which needs to be restored, so that the faith that started as when they were children and that somehow or other got lost in the meantime and in the middle of their lives can be restored as they see your faithfulness through it all. What I'm trying to do. Dads, none of us are perfect. None of us have gotten this right. Well, I don't know. I can't say that. Maybe one of you have. If so, please come and share with me your secret. But I do know some truths. I do know that we disciple by being the disciple we desire our disciple to be. Which means that as a dad, I need to be the dad that I want my sons to become. If I had daughters, I need to be a dad who shows my daughters what the man that they would eventually marry need to be. And anything that I'm doing that isn't leading in that direction, isn't pointing to that truth, isn't evidencing that in my life, I need to take to Jesus and ask Him, is this wrong? Do I need to change? I don't want this unless it's what You want. Because I need to be a disciple that makes a disciple of my kids. So let me ask you, today, on this Father's Day, is there anything you need to change? Any confession before the Lord you need to make? Some of us guys, the truth be known, there's a whole secret life that we try our best to keep anybody else from knowing about. You need to let that go. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to put yourself in a group, whether it's a Sunday school class or Eric's men's Bible study or starting up another Bible study with some other guys that you know, and you need to get yourself accountable, because a disciple is accountable to grow. Then, what is God saying to you today? About the dad and the disciple that He wants you to be. Let's pray. Father, thank You that as we come to this time of decision, You've already prepared the way for us. You already have spoken to our hearts. You already have said to us what decisions we need to make. Now, Father, don't let go of us until we make the decision we need to make. Father, be like the angel with Jacob and don't let him go. And even if it means dislocating a hip, Father, until we get it right with you. Pray, Father, that you would speak to us clearly and that we would not be ashamed, but instead be willing to confess to you and humble our hearts to you so that we might become and continue to be the disciples you called us to be, so that we might lead our children to be the disciples you desire them to be. I pray this in Jesus' name, beginning with me, in Christ. Amen.